Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you all on this September 22nd, 2020. Boy, oh boy, a lot to get to because we played an encore presentation of the show on Monday, and I really want to recap now that week two of the NFL is officially in the books. I want to take a look back at what we have seen, you know, now that week two has ended so far in the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. A lot of interesting storylines. In week two, we saw that the league was marked by numerous injuries to big names. Some crazy comebacks. How about them Cowboys, right? some fantastic individual performances. And again, I want to talk about those injuries as well, because they were pretty glaring. All right. So, you know, I want to dive into that. I also want to talk about, you know, the start of Michigan State football practice, like officially, right? I mean, you know, on Monday, the Spartans returned to practice and got after it with a, quote, sense of urgency. According to new Spartans head coach Mel Tucker, you know, some players have commented on his intensity being 10 and then some, which is absolutely awesome. I can see that. You know, Mel Tucker looks like an intense guy, doesn't he? And I want to go through the schedule and give you my thoughts and predictions on what I believe Michigan State can do this year in what is a very different year, the year of COVID. So we'll dive into that. And of course, yes, we will talk about your Detroit Football Lions. Just so much drama. I think we can all agree that we will not see Matt Patricia coaching the Honolulu Blue for very long. It will be a miracle, in my opinion, if this brother makes it through this entire NFL year. You couldn't have asked for a worse start to the NFL year through just 2 weeks. I mean, we're just talking about 2 weeks here. You lose to the Bears. It's the Bears. The Bears are not a great football team. And you know, now you look at things and you say, and by the way, the Bears, so fortunate to begin the year like they have. I mean, they'll start playing some real opponents heading into this weekend when they take on the Falcons, who are certainly foaming at the mouth to try and get a win and rebound after what happened to them against my Dallas Cowboys, right? But they have played the Lions and the Giants to start those 2 weeks, and that's a very deceiving 2-0 football team. So you lose to the Bears. Then you lose to the Packers, which was expected in my opinion, but it's the way you lost. And again, you had another lead that you gave up, another double-digit lead that you gave up. And now you play a surging Arizona Cardinals team, and then you play the New Orleans Saints, who are always in the conversation for competing for a Super Bowl ring, and then you got the bye. It is realistic that the Lions could be 0-4 heading into that bye week. So a lot to talk about concerning your Detroit Lions. Props to you, Detroit Lions football fans out there. I don't know how you guys do it. I don't know why you put your mental and physical health through that kind of gauntlet, through that kind of pain. But hey, you rep your squad and you love them. So we'll tackle that as well. Like I always say, you guys can weigh in. You may not be able to call live into the show, but you can leave us a voicemail, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment there, and you can tweet us. You can tweet at me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Okay, and we start here. The Michigan State football team returned to the practice field on Monday for the first time since the Big Ten Conference announced last week Wednesday that the 2020 season would begin on October 24th. The Spartans had been in the midst of a strength and conditioning program that began on August 12th, the day after the Big Ten postponed the season on August 11th. MSU held workouts last week Thursday, Friday, and Saturday before resuming practice yesterday for more than 2 hours in helmets, jerseys, and shorts. So really getting after it. Michigan State won't be able to put on the pads until September 30th. And of course, they are slated to begin the 2020 year on October 24th inside of Spartan Stadium against Rutgers. That's a great way to open up the year, right? Almost a guaranteed dub when you play Rutgers. No offense to Rutgers, but just not a great college football team. And Michigan State getting after it. So I have more on Michigan State returning to the practice field yesterday. I have more on that story in just a moment. Excuse me. Matt Patricia, the head coach of the Detroit Lions, he labeled a radio report that he didn't want to take corner Jeff Okuda from Ohio State with the number 3 pick in April's draft as being, quote, blatantly not even close to true. He went on to say during a Zoom chat on Monday, quote, we usually don't talk about any of that stuff, the Lions coach said during this Zoom chat. Quote, we like to keep that stuff internal, but since that is so blatantly not even close to true, I would like to just make sure that that is not a true statement at all, end quote. The report came from 97.1 FM, citing two anonymous sources and claiming there was division between Patricia and Lions GM Bob Quinn and the team's personnel department. Radio host Mike Valenti, also MSU alum Mike Valenti, he is now the co-host of the Valenti Show with Rico Beard, also an MSU alum, my fraternity brother, been a guest here on Current Sports for a while. Mike Valenti called his report, quote, impeccably sourced. Impeccably sourced. While saying Patricia wanted Auburn defensive tackle Derrick Brown, He claimed personnel staffers wanted Alabama QB Tua Tagovailoa or Clemson linebacker Isaiah Simmons, with Quinn as the lone voice for Okuda. So there you have that. Again, Valini's saying his report is impeccably sourced, but Matty Patty completely denying it. I think we can all agree, but and again, I don't like to make harsh statements about a rookie NFL player after just seeing him one time on the football field. But Jeff Okuda did not look great on Sunday against A.A. Ryan and the Cheeseheads. And look, he could certainly develop into the stud that many believe he will be. But, you know, you look at where this franchise is right now, an aging, beaten-up quarterback in Matthew Stafford, who has certainly contributed to that 0-2 Detroit Lions record. And you look back and say, why not just draft for the future here and pick Tua Tagovailoa? That's who I thought they should have drafted. That's what I think many people thought out there they should have drafted. But hey, that's the Detroit Lions organization for you. And who knows if Valeni's report is true or not. I don't like the decision regardless to draft Okuda. Okay. New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft will likely have sex solicitation charges against him dropped. According to the Associated Press, Florida prosecutors said yesterday that they wouldn't challenge a court ruling that blocked video allegedly showing Kraft, who is 79 years old, eliciting sex at a massage parlor in January of last year. He was charged with two counts of solicitation in February of last year. Last month, the Florida 4th District Court of Appeals found that Jupiter police violated the rights of Kraft and others when they secretly installed video cameras inside massage rooms at the Orchids of Asia Day Spa. The recordings, which have not been made public, are reportedly the only known potential evidence in the case, meaning that the charges against Kraft and about 20 other men will likely be dismissed. How about that? Talk about dodging a bullet. My goodness. Okay, also, various cities and states have implemented fines for not wearing masks in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. New Yorkers who don't wear face coverings on public transportation face a $50 fine. It's 10 times that in Michigan. In the multi-billion dollar business that is the National Football League, the price is a bit steeper. Try on $100,000 for size. Yeah, that's the amount that three NFL coaches, Denver's Vic Fangio, Seattle's Pete Carroll, and San Francisco's Kyle Shanahan, all three fined for not wearing masks on the sideline during Sunday's games. Each franchise was fined an additional $250,000. In total, that's more than $1 million in penalties for violating the league's mask policy. I love it. ESPN reports that the NFL sent a memo to teams following the opening weekend of games in which many coaches seemed to disregard the policy. After a second week of defiance, the league took action. As they should. Because at the end of the day, this is about safety, and you got to give props so far to the National Football League and how they have had now, what, zero cases just before kickoff of week one and week two in the league. They've gotten it right so far, and you, in order to continue to get it right, personnel like NFL head coaches have to do their part and put on a dang mask. It's real simple. So after this hefty fine placed on Fangio, Carroll, and Shanahan, I'm sure they will change their tune heading into week three. All right, and speaking of the NFL, more NFL news. A lot of NFL news today on the Quick Hit Headliners. Last night, we saw the opener of the Death Star. That's right, Derek Carr and the Las Vegas Raiders delivered a performance worthy of that fancy new home. Too bad none of their fans, though, were able to see it in person, but still, it was quite the spectacle seeing that thing on television. As Derek Carr threw three touchdown passes and the Raiders gave their new fans in Las Vegas plenty to celebrate, even if they weren't allowed in the stadium, by beating the New Orleans Saints, a very good NFL squad, 34-24 on Monday night. The new $2 billion stadium in the desert held its first event following the Raiders' move from Oakland without any fans because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Derek Carr was in control, surprisingly, for most of the night, completing 28 of 38 passes for 282 yards. Also, Darren Waller had 12 catches for 103 yards. He was Derek Carr's most trusted option. So, the Raiders get the upset win there as they now move to Las Vegas Stadium, Allegiant Stadium, and it was really cool to see that torch lit up, and right behind the torch you've got nothing but glass, and you can look right at the Las Vegas Strip. I love that. The Al Davis torch is pretty remarkable. So, Allegiant Stadium is beautiful. And, I put on my Facebook status yesterday watching that game that, shout out to Brad Walker. Brad Walker, one of my favorite co-workers at WKAR, as many of you know by now, who have been following the show for a minute. Brad is a diehard Las Vegas Raiders fan, and he was enjoying every minute of last night. That was a very surprising outcome. Okay, we got some college basketball news, as ESPN is planning to move at least 8 of its men's college basketball events to the ESPN Wide World of Sports property at Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida. Conference and team sources told that to ESPN. So ESPN runs 10 non-conference events in November and December, and at least 8 of them are expected to take place in Orlando this year. The Champions Classic, which of course Michigan State is a part of. The Charleston Classic, the Myrtle Beach Invitational, the NIT Season Tip-Off, Wooden Legacy, Orlando Invitational, Jimmy V Classic, and the Diamond Head Classic are all expected to move to Disney. And of course, again, that is the location, the site of the NBA bubble, but different protocols are expected to be in place for college events. So the ESPN Wide World of Sports in Orlando, Florida will be the site of those said events. And again, Michigan State playing in the Champions Classic like they do every year. All right, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, the GOAT, the greatest basketball player to ever do it. Well, he is now going to become a NASCAR team owner. How about that? Denny Hamlin announced on Monday night that he had joined forces with the NBA icon to field a NASCAR team for Bubba Wallace in 2021. This is what MJ said in a statement. Quote, growing up in North Carolina, my parents would take my brothers, sisters, and me to races, and I've been a NASCAR fan my whole life. The opportunity to own my own racing team in partnership with my friend Denny Hamlin and to have Bubba Wallace driving for us is very exciting for me. Historically, NASCAR has struggled with diversity, and there have been few black owners. The timing seemed perfect as NASCAR is evolving and embracing social change more and more. In addition to the recent commitment and donations I have made to combat systemic racism, I see this as a chance to educate a new audience and open more opportunities for black people in racing. Wallace is the only black driver racing full-time at NASCAR's top level, but Wallace announced earlier in September that he was leaving Richard Petty Motorsports after three seasons with the team. Wallace called joining forces with Hamlin and Jordan, quote, a unique once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, end quote. I absolutely love this. Definitely a big step into trying to get the sport of NASCAR to become more diverse, and to have Michael Jeffrey Jordan get involved. That's pretty big time. That's pretty big time. The most popular athlete in the world, folks. All right, and the Stanley Cup final is square at a game apiece. In a clash that in many ways mirrored their series opening loss, the Tampa Bay Lightning sprung to a quick lead in Game 2 and hung on to defeat the Dallas Stars 3-2 on Monday night to even the NHL's championship series. Game 3 is scheduled for Wednesday night. And I also want to note that we do have NBA action taking place tonight at 9 p.m. on TNT as the Los Angeles Lakers try to take a 3-0 lead against the Denver Nuggets in the NBA's Western Conference Finals. So we'll see if that happens. Again, LeBron and the Lakers are coming off of that really thrilling Game 2 that saw an Anthony Davis three-pointer put away the Nuggets and putting to halt that really impressive run that the Nuggets had in that second half. So we'll see if the Nuggets still have some fight left in them. Again, tonight at 9 p.m. on TNT. That will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. When we come back, we'll talk MSU football. And, of course, we'll address the Detroit Lions falling to the Green Bay Packers. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I hope everyone out there is doing well. We're getting some really nice weather, right, for the month of September. As what was the fall first day? I think it was yesterday. No, it's today. Just Googled it. I didn't miss it. I told myself I'm going to make sure I mention. Well, Current Sports, the first day of fall, and that is today. Summer is gone, folks. Oh, man, that's a bit sad to say. Oh, goodness. I'm going to try and get as many rounds of golf in as I can, as my schedule allows in the next few weeks. but, yes, it is September 22nd, 2020, the first day of fall. And I'm a big fall fan. Fall is actually, you know, my second favorite season, of course, next to summer. And my birthday is also in fall, October 7th, just right around the corner. And I also want to note that September 17th was the birthday of my little sister, Loriana. And we had an encore presentation of the show airing that day, so I didn't get a chance to come out and say, happy birthday, sis, on that day. So, a Current Sports happy belated birthday to my little sister, who is now the sweetness of 16. Can you believe that? Yeah, she's now actually, you know, getting her her driving permit to drive a vehicle. Time is flying, folks. My goodness. Okay, let's talk Big Ten football. More specifically, let's talk Michigan State football. As the Spartans return to practice on Monday, the first time that the Spartans have practiced on the field since the Big Ten Conference announced last week that the season would begin on October 24th. Pretty exciting stuff. for college football fans out there, for Michigan State fans out there. And, you know, we're just right around the corner, but we still have a lot of time, though, I must say. And look, and I also want to say this, too. Mel Tucker, I saw this story published by Matt Wenzel of MLive, and he talked about how intense Mel Tucker is. You know, there were some players that talked about just how intense he is. And Antoine Simmons, the senior linebacker, one of the leaders of this team, he was asked to rate Tucker's intensity during Monday's practice on a scale of 1 to 10. Quote, he's a 10 and probably plus some. He came out with his whistle wet and was ready to go. It's insane. Practice is fast. It's really fast. The tempo. I don't know if there's a point where we're not running. Intense stuff. I love it. Mel Tucker coming in, implementing his system, implementing his way, and we'll see if it translates to a few dubs starting at the end of October when Michigan State opens up against Rutgers. But, you know, I also want to give a big shout out to Jack Ebling, who had me as a guest, a panel guest on Fox 47's Press Pass alongside Ebling and the great Tom Crawford. And we tackled a variety of different subjects. And, you know, I was asked by Jack to grade what would be a successful first year for MSU football under Mel Tucker. And I said, look, Mel Tucker could go out there and not win one game, and it will be still looked at as an okay year, a successful year. You know why? Because this man comes into his first season as the head man in charge of MSU football, and his entire world is rocked. He was already behind the eight ball because of the timing of when Mark D'Antonio decided to step down and the hiring process and everything that went down there. He was already behind the eight ball there. And then you throw in how the coronavirus pandemic has thrown a complete monkey wrench into his preparation in year one. The Big Ten saying that, no, we're not going to play this fall. And then, you know, a few weeks later saying, okay, we changed our mind. We're going to play. It's just a lot. Mel Tucker could go out there and go 0-9. And it would still be looked at as a success, quote unquote, because of the circumstances, because of the situation, because of the cards that he has been dealt. With that being said, look, I went on there and you know, on Sunday night on Press Pass and predicted a 5-4 season only because we have seen some crazy things happen in the sporting world due to the pandemic and due to how the pandemic has had a profound effect on how we watch games and how these athletes prepare mentally and physically. It's a different year, so why not? This is more so of a gut reaction to the pandemic and how it is so different. I'm going 5-4. They'll be 4-4 heading into that final game, that final championship week where they play a team from the West who is matched up in the same placing that they are. But you look at the schedule, they're going to beat Rutgers. I mean, come on. It's Rutgers, for goodness sake. You open up against Rutgers at home on October 24th. You will play Michigan early. We all know that the Michigan Wolverines stumble out the gates of the season under Jim Harbaugh. They always do that. You play them early on Halloween. I like that. And you don't play the big dogs on your schedule, those being Ohio State and Penn State, until the end of the season. When you've got some games under your belt, you've got some experience for numerous players out there, why not? Why not? I think Michigan State finds a way to win a few games here. And I'm going, 4-4, heading into that final year. Again, more so because of this being such a different year and expecting, I'm expecting the unexpected. And you know what? I've talked about how I really enjoy, I really like that ninth game, matching up the East versus West, and again, the two champions from the East and West deciding the Big Ten champion out in Indianapolis. But that ninth game will be a good litmus test just to see where Michigan State can go in year two for Mel Tucker. Again, you will have eight games under your belt. You would have figured out some things, and now you get to see where you truly are or where you can go. You know, and in comparison to last year's schedule, I mean, you played Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Penn State all before November last year. A really tough stretch of football. And look, I know there are many people out there listening saying, 5-4, Al, what are you on right now? I mean, come on, dude. Yeah, I get it. I'm incredibly optimistic right now. But again, more so speaking from this being the year of COVID, the year of craziness. Why not? Because when you look at it, all signs point to Michigan State being like, what, a 2-3-win team this season? We don't even know who the quarterback is going to be. There's so much turnover. I mean, Jacob Panishuk, senior defensive end, he's going to be the only returning defensive lineman for this team. As you know, brother Mike Panishuk, Raekwon Williams, Kenny Willekes, all gone. You know, players like Marcel Lewis, we just don't know. I mean, he's a redshirt freshman linebacker. Marcel Lewis actually opted out because of the coronavirus. He actually had a family member who sadly passed away to the coronavirus, and he noted how there was another family member that was severely sick due to the virus. But, you know, he's back now, and I hope his family is doing much better. But he's a very athletic player that we just don't know what his ceiling is, what his potential is. So we'll see. There are a lot of question marks, but you know, there's something about Mel Tucker. I get a vibe that he's got a firm two hands on the wheel of this car, and he's going to figure it out. But we realistically can't. And I always say this, you know, when you have a shift in coaching culture like you do right now with Michigan State football, and any sport you're talking about, though, when you have a shift in coaching culture, you got to wait at least till season three. At least until season three. Like, cough, Matt Patricia. Right? Which I'll get to in just a moment. But before that, you know, I was also asked on Sunday by Jack Ebling, and Tom Crawford and I, we totally disagree on this. Jack and I, we're on the same page. I am not incredibly excited to have Big Ten football back. I'm actually a bit uncomfortable. Because as I hooped and hollered last week, about when the announcement was made that the Big Ten would be coming back at the end of October to play this year, I have a moral issue with it. This was a money grab. Simple as that. I mean, when you look at what's happening around college sports right now, how can you say it's 100% safe to play college football, let alone any sport for that matter? In the latest round of testing for Michigan State alone, just looking at September 7th to the 14th, 45 Michigan State athletes tested positive, along with one staff member. 45. How about the 14-day stay-in-place quarantine order for Grand Valley State University students? How about Florida State University head football coach Mike Norvell testing positive for COVID? How about Baylor and Houston postponing due to cases on the Baylor football team. Those are just a few of the cases right now that we're seeing in college football and in college sports. That's just touching upon the positive cases we've seen. So why did the Big Ten make the decision? It was all about money. They were that kid in timeout, metaphorically in timeout, looking at all the other kids enjoy themselves and go out there and play and saying, hey, that should be us. This isn't fair. We need to meet immediately, especially because we're missing out on money that they are making. They're making money off those TV contracts. We're not. They're playing. We're not. Emergency meeting. We need to figure this out. We need to figure it out now because we are losing moolah. When you start talking about losing money, it's all about the Benjamins. When you talk about losing money or perceivably taking money out of the pockets of those who are in charge, then you got a problem. Kevin Warren's hand was forced and he had to make that decision to get on board. Also, did I mention Ed Orgeron, head football coach of the LSU Tigers, basically saying, yeah, our entire team basically got COVID. But cool. They'll get it. They'll recover. We'll be good. We got antibodies. Right? That's basically what he said. Coach O, come on, man. And then the quality of play. I'm questioning the quality of play just a bit because as of September 14th, 151 players have opted out. 151 players have opted out. And we're talking about some talented players, folks. These aren't, you know, third string, fourth string guys. Texas A&M starting linebacker Anthony Hines, not playing. Miami quarterback Tate Martell, not playing. We all know about Penn State star receiver Rondale Moore, not playing. Penn State corner Micah Parsons, very talented, not playing. Wyatt Davis of Ohio State, not playing. Let's bring it on home to Michigan State. Offensive lineman Jordan Reed, not playing. Offensive tackle Justin Stevens, not playing. So, we have a condensed schedule with a lot of superstars not there on the football field. No fans. Workout schedules have been everywhere. Yeah. And by the way, how about no bye week? No week to rest up. 8 straight weeks of intense college football action. You better believe I'm concerned about the quality of football we're going to see out there on the football field. But hey, you wanted it. You got it. You're sitting at home tired of watching other conferences play. Big Ten football is back, folks. What are your thoughts on Big Ten football being back? What are your thoughts on Mel Tucker and his first year? When looking at that schedule, how would you grade success for Michigan State football? 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. That is the number that you can call. Leave us a voicemail there. You can also go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. And you can also tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News. Tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. Let's hit our first break. And I'll talk about the third season under the leadership of head coach Matt Patricia for your Detroit Lions and how the clock is ticking and it's only a matter of time before you get that notification that Matt Patricia is no longer the head coach of the Honolulu Blue. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We'll take you on home by first talking Detroit Lions football. As the Lions gave up yet another double-digit lead to lose on the road at the hands of A.A. Ron, Aaron Rodgers, and the Green Bay Packers in Wisconsin. 42-21, your final. And the Detroit Lions now, you know, they are always making the wrong history, right? Always finding historic ways to make you just shake your head. And for Lions fans out there, just be completely embarrassed at the level of mediocrity that this team continues to show you year after year after year. As the Lions now become, with that loss against the Packers on Sunday, the Lions are the first team in NFL history to blow double-digit leads to lose four straight games. 0-2 to start this year, and of course it's counting the final two games of last season. First team in NFL history to have double-digit leads in a game for four straight games, and you blow it, and you go home with an L. And if that loss against Chicago to open up the year, because when you take a peek at that Detroit Lions schedule, to open up the year, you play three or four teams who are pretty solid. To try and get win number one, when looking at how you play the Bears, Packers, Cardinals, and Saints, the Bears were your best shot to open up the year with a win. And look, that game started off great. The Lions looked great. And you thought they were going to cruise to a victory, but you give up the lead, you lose 27-23. And you give up a lead against the Packers, you start off great there, and you lose 42-21. The Lions are going to be 0-4 going into that bye week after week four, folks. I hate to say it, but that's how it's going to play out. I don't see them beating the Arizona Cardinals, a really good football team right now, and Kyler Murray playing amazing. If you remember, last year the Lions played the Cardinals and tied with them to open up the year. And then you play the New Orleans Saints. I don't see them beating Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. I mean, come on, man. Yeah, the Saints did struggle against the Las Vegas Raiders last night on Monday Night Football, but that's uncharacteristic. They're not gonna struggle against the Lions. But you look at how the Lions have lost the first two games of the year, and if that loss against Chicago didn't make you think this, then that loss against Green Bay has to make you think this. Matt Patricia is not the right guy. Bob Quinn is not the right guy. Trying to turn the Detroit Lions into New England 2.0, failed experiment. And the future of this franchise is up in the air. It's just a bad football team right now. And I say, you know, just like I said in segment B, you realistically start to judge any head coach, I don't care what sport you're talking about, for me at least, until year three. Because year three, you've had a chance to get your guys in there. You've had a chance to implement how you do things, your coaching culture. And now we get to see what you're made of. Well, we're seeing what Matt Patricia is made of, and he's just not a good head football coach. He may just be one of those guys that's just suited to be a coordinator. And look, don't even get me started, though. When you look at the coaching tree of Bill Belichick, how coaches under Bill Belichick have gone elsewhere to try and become head coaches and have not fared well. But your guys are now in there, Matt Patricia. And you are supposed to be this defensive guru. That was the hallmark of your coaching prowess and why a lot of Detroit Lions fans out there were giddy about your hire. A defensive genius is what they called you. Uh-uh. That was false. Especially the young players that you have drafted, the young players that you have chosen to be a part of this ball club. How have you developed them? Well, look, on Sunday against the Packers, I mean, I can call out Will Harris, with the exception of a really nice hit in the first quarter. I can call out Jared Davis, who has been clueless throughout his Lions career. I can call out Jelani Tavai. I can call out Tracy Walker, but Tracy Walker, even though he did have some moments on Sunday, he is just incredibly inconsistent. I can call out Amani Oruwe. And I can call out Jeff Okuda. Yeah, if you are a number three NFL draft pick, you can't play how you played on Sunday. Jeff Okuda was totally lost on Sunday. Your young pups on defense, which you pride yourself on, have not looked great. They have looked awful, actually. Awful. And look, I think it's becoming realistic now, and Matt Patricia is feeling so much pressure now that it's not out of the cards to see Matt Patricia gone after the 0-4 start, or at some point in the middle of this season. I could see it, folks. I would not be surprised if the Lions let go of Matt Patricia before his third year is done. It's so bad, folks. And look, I have been such a big Matthew Stafford fan, but Matthew Stafford is not playing great right now either. You know, and Matthew Stafford, look, I think he's a great NFL talent. He's a very durable, tough quarterback, strong arm, a great representative of what a starting quarterback in the NFL should be. But he has not played great in these first 2 weeks. He has made his mistakes as well. He has not helped. It's bad all around, and I struggle to find a shining light on what you as Lions fans can hang your hat on and say, all right, but there's this. No. Uh-uh. Just had to address that. And when it comes to, you know, the NFL around the league, I mean, goodness gracious, I mean, on Sunday's early slate, Saquon Barkley, Drew Locke, Nick Bosa, Jimmy G. Those names headline a long list of players who were forced out and faced long absences. I mean, Barkley messing up his knee. He's done for the year. Same thing with Nick Bosa. Whew. A lot of players hurt. That was a really fun Sunday night football game, Seahawks over the Patriots, Cam versus Russell Wilson. And how about my Cowboys? I'm going to have more on my Cowboys tomorrow, even though you probably don't care to listen. But that one-point victory, what a thrilling comeback. Dak Prescott, 450 passing yards, 3 rushing TDs. Whew. Whew. What a way to finish that game. It was a fun week too, folks. But with that, I bid you all adieu. We'll see you on the hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I want you all to be smart, be safe, and as always, please, be easy, people.